Well, amen. Thank you for coming to pray this morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Go down to verse 15. And I want to bring a message which I've entitled simply, Living for Christ. Living for Christ. And I would challenge you with this question this morning, what are you living for? What are you truly living for? What is it that drives you each day? When you get up each day, there's a lot of things that pull us many directions, but what is it that gets you fired up? What is it that gets your focus and your attention? What do you pour your energies and your time and your effort into? What are you really going after or living for in life? And people live for all kinds of things in this world. People live for money and possessions. It's what a lot of people are going after, the American dream. They want to have money. They want to have lots of stuff. They want to get a good job that pays lots of money so they can have a nice house and a nice car and go after nice things. And really for them, life is just about accumulating more and more, getting more and more. Some people are living for pleasure. It's all about fun. It's all about what they want to do and what fulfills them. And so they go after life and everything that would bring them pleasure, everything they can accumulate to themselves. They live for their hobbies. They live for whatever is just fulfilling them in this world. And they pour all their time and their energies and monies into that. Some people are living for power, for prestige. For them, it's all about making a name for themselves. It's about climbing up some corporate ladder, some political ladder, or maybe some other ladder. They want to be the best at whatever they do. They want to have a name for themselves, whatever they're giving themselves to. They want to be number one. It's all about prestige. And then some people just kind of exist. They're just living life, but rather than doing much of anything or putting concerted effort into anything, they're really just kind of letting life drag them around. And they're just kind of existing and surviving rather than living for anything. And for some, it's just a combination of some of those things, or maybe all of those things to some degree. But the reality is, in the end, those things will vanish and mean nothing. This world and the works that are in it will burn up. And when it's all said and done, the only thing that's truly going to matter is Christ. Knowing Christ truly as Savior and Lord, and then living for Christ, that's what's going to matter. If we are true followers of Christ, then we know that. If we are truly saved, then we know that when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to matter is did we truly know Christ? And did we really live for Christ? Did we fulfill His purpose in our life? Do what He has called us to do. And yet, so often we are distracted. The world and so many things in this world constantly pull at us and draw us away from Christ, from truly serving Christ, living for Christ. We are in a battle to truly live for Christ on a daily basis. And Jesus would say to you and me, and He does all through the Word, He looks at us and He says, follow me. Follow me. We are to live for Christ. We are to live for His glory. And the one thing that Jesus cannot be, the one thing that Christianity cannot be, is just a little bit important. Just kind of important in our life. If we are truly His and truly called by His name, then Christ must be everything. That is His call all throughout the Scripture. If you want to come after me, then deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Don't try to save your life, you'll lose it. But give up your life for my sake. Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not even fit for the kingdom of God. I want everything from you. That's His call all through the Scripture. In a multitude of ways, He expresses that and commands that of us. And so we must truly be a people who give ourselves to Christ. That is the calling for His name, for His kingdom. And as we jump into this passage of Scripture, we see just a small portion of what that means, of what that requires. It is a call to follow Christ. It is a call to live for Christ, to give ourselves to Christ while there is yet time. And it's very clear, it's very specific instruction. And if we will live this out and put this into practice, it will enable us to live to that end for Christ. If we will do these things, just some very brief things, three very simple things, let's look at them. Ephesians chapter 5, go down to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's just stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We need more, God, than just a service. We need more than just to read this passage and even expound its truths. Oh, we need a divine invasion. We need your holy presence. We need your Holy Spirit to take the word off the page and drive it into the heart. We need you to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We need you to move our hearts, God, to draw near to you. We need you to show us, oh God, who you are and who you've called us to be and the calling we have in Christ. We need you to show us, Lord, and expound to us what truly matters and to drive that in, God, that we would go out these doors transformed and changed and made more like Christ. And if any of us be lost, that God, they would find Christ right here and right now today, truly as Savior and Lord. God, I confess my desperate need to be living this message. And I want you to have me. God, root out of me and us everything that is hindering us from Christ and the glory of His name. And show us, God, today what it means, what it requires, what it looks like to live for Jesus, for Him to have us, to live for what truly matters, to live for Christ. And so, God, help us today. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His glory. Amen. There are three exhortations, three commands that we see in this Scripture that are given to us, and these are not suggestions. These are not things that, you know, God is telling us, you might want to think about this, but these are commands from God. These are things that need to have a hold of us. These are things that we need to be living in our life and taking heed to and obeying even on a daily basis, that we might truly live for Christ, for Christ. Let's look at these. Number one, we are called to walk carefully. Verse 15 simply says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And it begins there with the word see then. See then. And those two words refer back. See then. In other words, in light of what I've just said, in light of these other things I've just spoken. And so it goes back to the previous verses, and it goes back even further to the beginning of chapter 4. And then chapter 4 and everything after chapter 4 is built upon the first three chapters of Ephesians. All of this is flowing together. But chapter 4 and verse 1, there is a foundational command. Foundational command from which everything else is flowing. Everything else is now flowing out of that command. Chapter 4, verse 1 very simply says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Boy, that is the call of Christ to you and me. If you are in Christ, if you are His child, if you have been immersed and washed in the blood of Christ, if you are called by His name, then the calling of God to you and me is walk worthy of such a calling. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those who have been saved, who have come to Christ as Savior and Lord, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God for the day of redemption, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If that's you, then walk worthy of such a calling. For the first three chapters, he has expounded all the blessings we have in Christ. Everything that Jesus has brought down to us through our salvation in him. And now he is calling us to walk worthy of that calling. If you are in Christ, if you have been washed in his blood, then live like it. That's the calling. It's that simple. Then walk worthy of such a calling. Live worthy of such a calling. In chapter 4, verse 17, just kind of building up to this, he tells us that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That's how you walk worthy of such a calling. Don't live like you once did when you were lost. That's the phrase, the Gentiles, those who don't know God, those who are outside of the covenant promises of God, those who have not been brought to saving faith in Christ. Don't live like you once did when you didn't know God and you were lost and in darkness. Don't live like that anymore. Don't walk like that anymore. Verse 25 through verse 32, it's all speaking about putting away sin. Put off sin. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give place to the devil any longer. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. Be an imitator of God. Chapter 5, verse 3, don't let sin even be named among you. These are high callings. Don't even let it be said that there's sin among the church. If you're called by the name of Christ and you're washed in his blood, don't let people point into the church or point into your life and say, well, they're sinning. They're walking in sin. They're not doing what God's called them to do. Don't even let sin be named among you. Be done with it. Be an imitator of God. Walk in holiness. Walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 8, he says, we were once darkness, but now we're children of light. Walk as children of light. Live like it. Live as who you are in Christ. That's the calling. It's just like a drum. It just keeps beating and beating all through this passage. Walk worthy, walk worthy. This is how you walk worthy. And so we come down here to chapter 5, verse 15, and he continues, see then. See then. Since this is who you are in Christ, since you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, since you have been placed into God's own dear Son, since you have been called with a holy calling, since you are now to be putting off sin and living for Christ, see then that you walk circumspectly in this world. That is the calling. If you want to live for Christ, if you want to walk worthy as you have been called to walk, then see then that you walk circumspectly in this world. The word walk speaks of our conduct. See then that you conduct yourself. It's speaking of the way that we're living our life, the way that we operate our life. It dives into every moment of every day, the things we're doing on a daily basis of any day. See then, as you're living your life day in, day out, throughout every day, that you're walking circumspectly. That is to be our behavior. And the word circumspectly means with exactness. See then that you are living with precision. Very carefully. Don't just wing it. Don't just kind of, you know, throw out your arms, shrug your shoulders, oh well. No, you be living with exactness in your life. You be living with determination. You be living with precision in your life. That's the calling. We are to give extreme diligence, due diligence to such a Savior, to such a calling. We're to be living with great care. We're to be living with exactness as we live day in, day out, as we go out these doors for Christ with precision. Why? Well, because there is the danger of wasting our lives. There's the danger of missing our opportunity. I'll tell you how easy that is. On Wednesday night, God had led me to a passage of Scripture out of Luke where you know, the multitudes are gathered and there's nothing to feed them with, and the apostles come to Jesus and say, you know, Lord, you need to send the multitude away. It's getting late. We don't have anything to give them. And Jesus looks at his apostles and says, you give them something to eat. Oh, Lord, we ain't got anything hard. I mean, what do we got? Well, we got, you know, a few fish, some loaves. How are we supposed to feed this multitude? Well, because you know the one who holds the world in his hands. And he says, you give them something to eat. Well, I don't have much to give them. Well, give everything you have to Christ, and then he will use you to work his will and his truth into the hearts and lives of others. He will enable you to live for the glory of his name and be a salt and light in this world. So me and Elizabeth head up to Columbia. Long story short, we're in the parking lot there at McDonald's, and a lady comes up and she says, do you have some jumper cables? I'm like, well, hold on, let me look. I look through my truck. No, I don't, I'm sorry. She kind of walks away. And we're in the truck, and Elizabeth's like, we need to help her. And I said, I know, I don't know what to do. I don't have any jumper cables. I was like, there's not even a Walmart in Columbia. I can't even go buy some. I guess I could go back to Waterloo. And she's like, well, we can't just leave her. And I was like, I know. And I'm not even thinking about what I said on Wednesday. Just out of my head. And so I get out and I go back to her. I was like, maybe it's not her battery. Maybe it's something else. And she said, no, I left my headlights on and my battery's dead. So there's a guy over there and I go to him. Do you have jumper cables? No. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I look over and just not far there in Columbia, it's just, I see this nice building, a couple of garage doors, and there's cars up on the rack. And I was like, well, let's go over there and see if they got some jumper cables. So we go over there, and they said, we don't have any jumper cables, but we got this box, just hook these two leads up on the battery. It'll start it just like that. So I said, thank you so much. And we come out of that door that late. I said, ask and you shall receive. And I'm coming back there, and Elizabeth's sitting in the truck, and I'm coming back across that, and we jump put them on there. She starts her car right up. She says, let me take that. I said, I got it. You go ahead and get on your way. I take that box back. And as I drop that off and I'm coming back across the parking lot, it finally sinks in. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Don't just leave them to go off their own way and do their... You are called by my name. You might not know what to do in their life, but you know the God of glory who holds the world in his hands. You give them something to eat and you trust me. I didn't have much. I didn't have any cables. But I had a God who holds the world in his hands who said, just look right over there. Go get a box from them and jump her car. Be the hands and feet of Christ. Live with great care. Live with diligent effort for Christ. You can't wing this. You can't just get up and not live with exactness, not get your mind and heart set upon Christ and think you're really going to live for Christ. We've got to have our heart in tune with Him. We've got to be given up to Him. Nothing held back. God, have my life every moment of every day. Help me to live with divine purpose for Your name and Your glory. Help me to be on mission, not just busy with me. It would have been real easy to say, I don't have any jumper cables, and I almost did, and just leave. But Elizabeth was there and helped prompt my mind. I was like, I know, I don't know what to do though. And that's what it means. Just day in and day out, be on mission for Christ. Live with exactness for Christ. It takes fervent discipline to live for Jesus. It takes effort to be given up to Him each day and every moment of the day. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. The moment you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are placed into the battle. Get ready, because there is a fight a-coming with the flesh, with the world, with the devil. We know that. We battle in this world as we seek to live for Jesus. If we're going to live with exactness and precision, live carefully in this world for what has eternal value for Christ our King, then we are going to be in the battle right there in the midst of it every day. My flesh would have said, just go. You can't do nothing. right? You ain't got time. The devil, forces of wickedness, all this is battling us. The Bible says, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that verse, but take it in. The whole world, everything in the world, all the people of the world without Jesus Christ are under satanic deception. They are in the depths of darkness. They don't have a clue. And such were we. And that's what we're up against. They are living in hostility to God, direct opposition to God. They are set dead against God. They walk in darkness. They don't know the truth. And it pulls at us, this world. It says, you know, you don't have to be so serious. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to be under the Word. You know, you can put off that time with God in prayer and you just go out there and you just look at this and look at that, and it pulls us and it entices us away from the things of God and the calling of God. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 warns us of the battle that we have with the flesh. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, because the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another, battling back and forth. God's Spirit saying this and our flesh is saying no, this. God's Spirit is saying this and our flesh is saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sacrifice that. I don't want to have to do this. I don't have to do that. They're just battling back and forth. The flesh wants to gratify itself. The flesh wants to soothe itself. The flesh wants to please itself. God is saying, lay down your life for Christ. And there's a battle going on internally in the flesh. And then we know there is the battle with the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us our adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not idle. He's after you. He's after you every day. He's after me every day. He's after our children. He's after our grandchildren. He's after everyone in this world. He's seeking whom he may devour. The devil is a liar. He is a thief. He is a murderer. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is ever at work to deceive and distract and to keep us from Christ and the calling of Christ. He wars to take our families to hell. Vance Havner, with the Lord since 1986, said this. He says, the devil is not fighting religion. He's too smart for that. He is producing a counterfeit Christianity, so much like the real one, that good Christians are afraid to speak out against it, end quote. And that's his work. It's not just the devil is at work to make everything vile and wicked and profane. The devil is at work to make something as much like Jesus and as much like a true church as he can, so that he can lead multitudes of people into hell thinking they were fine, thinking they were saved in the midst of deception. Charles Spurgeon, in his evening devotion, November 30th, we'd mentioned a few of these things on Sunday night, but bear with me, those of you who have been coming. Speaking of the true Christian, Spurgeon said this, they are born to be warriors. He goes on to say, the duty of every soldier in the army of the Lord is daily, with all his heart, soul, and strength, to fight against the dragon. Don't be idle, don't think you're doing pretty. He is after you. And he'll lull you to sleep, and he will deceive you. Again, he says, we are foolish to expect to serve God without opposition. The more zealous we are, the more sure we are to be assailed by the martyrdoms of hell. And so he follows up by saying this, glory be to God, we know the end of the war. The great dragon shall be cast out forever and be destroyed. That is his end, the devil's end. He will be destroyed, but until then, we are in a battle. I mean, we are not on vacation in this world. We might think we are at times, that we're just taking our ease, it's smooth sailing. We are never on vacation. We are in the midst of battle every moment of every day. We're living in a day the Bible warns us about. 2 Timothy 3 warns us of this. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Don't be deceived. It goes on to say down in verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then down in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables. Does that sound familiar? Not just because it's in the Scripture, but does that look familiar out here in this world that we're living in? Men are lovers of themselves. The love of many has grown cold. Despisers of good, headstrong, haughty, they just are full of themselves. They don't care who you are. Kindness is almost a thing of the past. That lady was in tears. When I walk back over to her car and say, are you sure? She's in there weeping. She had been there for 2 hours. Couldn't find anybody to help her. It's a world we're living in. They don't care. They're full of themselves. They're headstrong. They're haughty. It's all about them. We're seeing all this right before our eyes in living color, just as Jesus warned us of. And the enemy's unrelenting. He's drowning our nation in deception. Think things are getting better, one flip of the switch, it's going down the other way. If you think it's just getting better and better, there's satanic deception underlying this world and even this nation and the nations. Be alert spiritually. Be discerning of what's really going on in this world. So many people are bound in sin. So many people are bound up in addictions. So many people's lives are just completely and totally broken. They need the gospel. They need the truth. They need the church to be salt, to be light. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. These are our children. These are grandchildren that are in great need of Christ. These are souls. These are living souls that will spend all of eternity in heaven or in hell. We're in a battle as we live in this world. And much of the church is either silent or too busy with other things to be engaged in the warfare. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. If there was ever a time to come out of sleep, ever a time for the church to wake up and get unified and draw near to God and say, God, help us to be your salt, to be your light. Help us to be given up to the true work. It is now. It is in this day. It is in this age. We're not going to live for Christ and give it minimal effort. Won't get done. If we're going to stand for Jesus, truly, we can't be distracted. We have to walk carefully, with precision. Every moment of every day, we've got to be on guard and given up to Christ. Live carefully. Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is a verse. It's almost mysterious. What in the world does that mean? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force? Well, it means this. When God reaches down and lays hold of us for Christ and washes us in the blood of Jesus and redeems us and gives us everlasting life and puts His Spirit in us and sets us on a new path, those who have been washed and redeemed now also go after God, lay hold of God, and desire to take God and His will by force. I want to be given up to You. I want to fulfill the purpose for which You saved me. They don't now kick back in their recliner and take threes and say, thank God for saving me, and then just give themselves to the world or the flesh. No, they give themselves up to God and they go after Him. That's what we need to be doing. There's an ever-growing desire, there should be in us. Many things distract us, many things delude us if we let it. But there is to be an ever-growing, consuming desire in us that, oh God, I want to be faithful. Oh God, I want to live for You. God, I want to be on mission. I want to be given up to You. I want You to use my life for Your name, for Your glory. God, help me to live for You. That's the desire of the true Christian's heart. And it's to be growing in us. Live for Christ. Live for Christ. We live in a day of happy-go-lucky Christians, happy-go-lucky churches, churches preaching watered-down messages to lukewarm Christians, social clubs, feel-good stations, rather than battle stations equipping soldiers for the work and calling of Christ. Churches that tickle the ears, soothe the conscience. Everything's fine. Everything's fine as it is. Listen, it is as if we are living in the days of Noah. People are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage or just living in sexual immorality. In this day, they hardly even ever get married anymore. And they're just living life as usual, and everyone thinks everything's just going on like normal. There's plenty of time. And they did not know that the hour of their judgment had come. They were in complete deception. And it came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. It's a battle, an all-out battle. God, help me put this flesh to death. God, help me not to be so consumed with me I don't see the need all around me. God, help me not to be so given up to me and the world and everything I got going on that I'm not given up to You and the kingdom work. Oh, God, help me. Help me. It's a battle. I think we need to understand being saved, being redeemed, our sins being forgiven, us being given the gift of everlasting life, us being reconciled to God. Salvation is all by the grace of God. It is all by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has accomplished it all. Amen? But if you're now going to live for this Jesus, if you're going to walk through this world and give it up to Christ and the glory of His name and accomplish something for eternity and eternal value, then it will cost you. Salvation is done in Christ. But you want to live for Him? Jesus says, lay down your life. Lay down your life. It's now about me, He says. It's about Christ. Take it by force. Get engaged in the battle. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of you. Walk carefully. There's a warning here. He goes on to say, not as fools, but as wise. Now, that can be the tendency. We might not look at ourselves as fools, but that's exactly what we are if we're not walking carefully. We're deluded and deceived and think we don't have to give this too much, just a little bit here, a little bit there. We're fine, everything's fine, and we are fools if we think that. Don't let the devil play you as a fool. Don't let the world consume you. And you miss your opportunity. You miss living even day in, day out for Christ, like I almost did that day. I almost missed that opportunity. What a fool I would have been. There she is weeping. She's got nobody helping her. Christ puts me there and I just walk right by. What a fool. Don't live like that. Walk carefully. Give extreme diligence, extreme effort. Give yourself up to God and seeking God daily in prayer and the Word. That's the only way you're going to live with care, with diligence, with precision. You're going to have to tuck away with God and get your heart right and your mind right and your life right every day and even throughout that day to keep it right throughout the day. Walk carefully. It's so crucial. And so I'd ask you, listen, is this how you live? Is this how we live? If not, get back to God. Get back to God in His calling. We are in a battle. So much is at stake. If we're going to live for Christ, we must walk carefully. Secondly, he says, redeem the time. Verse 16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There is given to each of us an allotment of time. It's a brief duration of time. Period of time. 1 Peter 1 verse 17 says, "And if you call on the Father," if that's you, "who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Again, that's how we're to walk. That's how we're to be living, in fear, godly reverence. But did you notice that phrase, throughout the time of your stay here? You're not here long. You've got just a brief opportunity. Psalm 139 verse 16 tells us that God fashioned our days when as yet there were none of them. God ordained the days that we would live before the world was in existence. God already knew us. We were already in the mind of God. God already determined when we would be born, to who we would be born, and how many days we would have upon this earth. There's given to you and me a set duration of time. Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5, David cried out, "Lord, make me to know my end." And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? You think you're strong? You think you're going to live and just keep on living? Your days are in the hands of an almighty God, not you. We are weak. We are frail. David says, "Lord, help me to know that. Teach me that." Psalm 90 verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Realizing time is short, we have a brief allotment of time. God help us in light of that to be wise, to have wisdom from you. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29 says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." The time is short, both for us and how long we'll live, but even for this world that's heading into the judgment of God, the time is short. James chapter 3, verse 14, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away." It's just a breath on a cold morning, and a little vapor, and then it's gone. That's your life. That's my life. We only have a limited amount of time. It's so clear in the Scripture. So often we live as if we have a million tomorrows, don't we? None of us are thinking we're going to die today or die tomorrow, but one day we're going to die. And we don't know that end. We don't know when that'll be. Our time is very short, and so it's absolutely crucial that we walk carefully, that we live for Christ now, because we only have so much time. God has only given us so much time. So walk carefully, redeeming the time. Now, this word redeem is a word that means to buy back. Redeem the time. That's the command. Redeem the time. Don't just realize it's short, but redeem that time. Buy back the time. It is to purchase at a price. It's going to cost you something to live for what matters. I mean, you can spend it away and give it away to anything, but if you're going to use it for Christ, it's going to cost you. You have to buy back what you have left for Him. It is to recover from another by the payment of a price. It's used to speak of Jesus and our salvation, isn't it? He has redeemed us. He has bought us with His own blood from the power of death, from the power of Satan himself, believing his lie and falling into death. He's purchased us with His own blood. And here it means use as much time as possible. Whatever time you're allotted, use it for God. Use it for Christ. Use it to fulfill the calling with which you have been called. Let me give you another verse that puts some perspective into this. 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Here's some application from the Scripture on this. Chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Be ready to suffer, because you will. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. It's the same truth. Conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That's 1 Peter 1:17. Then over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, live the rest of your time in the flesh, not for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Verse 3, again, for we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Can you relate to that? I spent 23 years of my life completely and totally lost, thinking I was probably saved. Didn't have assurance, but I believed. Believed the Bible, believed in God, believed Jesus died for my sin, and I was on my way to hell. You can believe all that and be heading straight for hell. You must be born again. You must be born of the power of God. You must be recreated by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I spent all those years just in the lust of my flesh, living like the Gentiles live. Those without God, I just live for me. I've spent enough of my past lifetime living like that. I've spent enough of my life in Christ living like that. God's saying, be done with it. You've done enough of that. Now get to the work. Buy back, use up whatever time remains for Christ. That's the calling here for what truly matters. There's a sense of urgency, isn't there, in the Christian life? We only have so much time. There's lost souls everywhere. They need to be redeemed. There's a sense of urgency. It's not panic. It's not worry. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be panicked running around. It's been well said that the guy who panics is the guy who jumps on his horse and he rides off the wrong way. It's a good illustration. You know, the guy, he gets up and he starts doing all kinds of stuff, but he's not getting anything done. We're not talking about panic. We're talking about living with precision and giving yourself to Christ and what truly matters. Give up to Him. Be given up to prayer and the Word. Give your life up and whatever remains to Christ. You don't have to be panicked. You don't have to be worried. Just give up to Him. Buy up whatever time you have left for Jesus. Redeem the time. That's the calling. Whatever you have, buy it back for Christ. Don't waste any more of it. And notice we're in this sense of urgency, in a day of urgency, not only because the time is short, but also because the days are evil. The days are evil. Is that so? We're living in an evil day. We live in a day where sin is no longer sinful. People don't even blush at sin anymore. They flaunt it. They lift it up, they flaunt it, they parade it all over. They rejoice in it. So many in our day and age are given over to the debased mind, the reprobate mind. The mind that no longer has a conscience, it's seared with a hot iron. They can't discern between right and wrong. God has given them up to every form of sin because they have rejected God and rejected God and rejected God. And God says, have it your way. And now they don't even have a mind to discern or think with. It's given up to evil. As I said, the love of many has grown cold. You realize that? People are just, they will unleash upon you for the smallest of things, and if their sword was, or their tongue was a sword, they would murder you with it. And with social media and the internet, the things that are unleashed there, the coldness there, the evil there, the darkness going out there, and anyone, anywhere can have a platform. And we're living in a day of AI and all that stuff. Do you realize, have you looked into that at all? I haven't too much, but do you realize they can take President Trump or any preacher and they can take videos of him and his voice and they can make him say anything they want him to say? And there you go, think you're listening to a speech from the president and it is computer generated, it's not him at all. Or listening to a preacher and it's not him at all. This world is ripe for the coming of the Antichrist. It is ripe for the coming of Christ Himself. And so many don't know Christ. We have little time and we have much opposition. And so now is the time to use up everything we have left for Christ. Use it up for Christ. And that's, you know, as you go, there's things to do. You have to work. It doesn't mean you, as we've said, you become a monk somewhere on a mountain. That's not much use for Christ. But as we go to work, as we live our life and even enjoy the blessings of God in life, God's given us many blessings and we're to enjoy them of a wife and children and many blessings. We're to be on mission. We're to be given up. We're to be redeeming the time. We're to be walking with precision, leading our children to Christ, teaching them about Christ, leading our wife and growing her in Christ and out there with others, making sure we're living and operating for Christ, being salt and light, being His hands and feet. You give them something to eat. That's why I called you. And I'll enable you to that end. That's what He says. You know, God told Noah and his family to get into the ark. And then what'd God do? He shut the door. It's too late for everyone who put it off. Too late. The day comes, Jesus said, when the master of the house will shut the door. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said He'll shut the door and many will be shut out and not able to enter. God called to Israel year after year after year after year through the prophets, through the ages, and then by Jesus Christ, His own Son Himself. And they shut Him out and shut Him out, and Jesus came to them finally and said, how often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her wicks, her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Your house is now left to you desolate. It's too late. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must do the works of Him who sent me while it's day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Romans 13, very similar passage, verse 11. Romans 13:11, and do this knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Be done with that. You don't have time for that anymore. It's high time to awake out of sleep. That calling drives right into our hearts today. Church, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake, O sleeper, wake up. That's the calling of God to us today. Now is the time to be done with the flesh and living for things that won't matter on that great day of eternity when we stand before Him. Now is the time to be given up to Christ. Redeem the time. How are you using your time that God has allotted to you? We waste a lot of time, myself included. As I said not long ago, phones, just doing this. I mean, just sometimes watching stupidity. Just absolute stupidity. Letting that just soak into our mind. You ain't got time for that. Get into the Word and saturate your mind with truth. Get into prayer and be given up to God and surrendered to Him, and then go out the door living for Him. Go after God. Get a hold of God. Lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of you. Take hold of this kingdom of God by force. Go after it. That's the calling. And then one last thing, understand the will of the Lord. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, again, since we are called to walk carefully with precision, since we are called to redeem the time and use it all up for Christ, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be in doubt. So many people say, I just don't know what God's will is. Well, why not? It's right here. This is it. He hasn't hidden it. This is the will of God for you and me. And so much could be said. Let me just give you a few things and we'll close. Number one, what does God want? What is His will for you and me? He wants you saved, truly saved. He wants you redeemed. He wants you to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. He wants to bring you to the understanding that without Christ, you are lost. You have sinned against a holy God. You are heading for an eternal hell. The wrath of God is abiding on your head, but He has given you His own Son. And Jesus Christ has shed His own blood for us. He has taken my sin and shame that should send me to hell for eternity upon His own body. And God has poured out the penalty for it on His own Son. And it's been paid in full. And now He wants to bring us to the foot of the cross to bow the knee to Jesus, who we've been singing about all morning as Savior, Lord, God, and King. He wants you saved. He wants you redeemed. That's what He wants. If you're not saved, then run to Jesus. Be done living in sin. If you're not sure you're saved, you've been in limbo, I don't know if I'm really saved or not, be done being in limbo, run to Jesus and get it straightened out. Be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. There's no doubt about it. What's God's will? What's His desire? That all men be saved. Then He wants us sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Not hard to figure out what God wants, is it? This is the will of God, your sanctification. What do you mean? What we've been talking about all morning, put off the works of darkness, put off sin, be given up to God. Let go of sin. Be surrendered, consecrated, given up to God and His will. Sanctified. Thirdly, surrendered. All these go together. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's God's will for you and me. Reasonable. In light of Christ, in His mercy, His grace that has reached down to us to bring us out of the muck and the mire of sin and wash us in His own blood and make us redeemed children of the living God. In light of that, it's the only thing reasonable. But every day, every moment of the day, be given up. Here's my life. It's yours, Lord. It's yours. God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do I need to be focused on when I go to work? I know I need to be serving as unto Christ. I know I need to be, you know, working in a manner that would bring glory and honor to you and reverencing those that I work for and all that bringing glory to honor to you. But God, as I live, help me to be attentive to you. Help me to be given up to you. Help me to be on mission for you and praying for those lost souls all around you. They'd be saved. Your life would be a reflection of Christ and bring glory to Christ. You'd be living above reproach. You'd be given up to God and what truly matters as you live your life each day in your home, your family, wherever you go, whatever you do, your life on the altar of God. Fourthly, Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18, the very next verse in our passage. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, every evil, wicked thing. That's where that leads. But be filled with the Spirit. You're either filled with your flesh or you're filled with the Spirit. Never both at the same time. Be filled with the Spirit. Flesh is warring against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. They're battling. And so be surrendered to the Spirit. Be given up again to God. What's that mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means that you've tucked away with God and you've prayed and you've studied and you've truly laid your life on the altar in prayer and said, God, empty me and fill me with you. And you're surrendered. And your mind and your life is now dominated by God, His will. You're communing with God. You're reminding yourself of Scripture. You're surrendering to that. You're just giving up to Him. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And God will take care of you even when you're like me and you miss that opportunity and you're not sure what to do, and He just moves you to it in His grace and His mercy and in His blessing. He says, wake up. You're going to live the message you just preached. Thank you, Lord. Help me be doing it all the time. So much could be said. We're to be soul winning. You shall be witnesses unto me. Not you might be, you shall be witnesses unto me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. I have all power. I have all authority. I hold the world in my hands. Go. Go tell people about Jesus. There's nothing more important. To be living that mission every day. Nothing more important. Souls are at stake. Be on mission. Open your mouth and share the truth of Christ. Engage people. Don't walk by them. See them where they are. God, help me to see people like you see people. God, help me to love people like you love people. God, help me to share with him the message of Christ. That's the work. Why you do all this out of love? Ephesians 5, look at verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You don't do all of this out of some burden and bunch of rules and regulations. You do this because you look at Jesus. And in light of Christ and such love and such sacrifice, you say, oh God, help me to live for you. I want to live for you. And you set yourself to it. You discipline yourself. You walk carefully with precision. You give yourself up to what matters. You get after it. You take hold of this kingdom by force. You lay hold of it in His grace and in His power, in His strength. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You don't have to wonder. And if you would say, but what about all them specific things, you know, that apply to me that aren't just in black and white in the Word? If you will just give yourself up to what is revealed in the Word of God, you won't have to wonder about all them other things that you're not sure about. He will lead you right where He wants you if you're given up to what He has revealed. You be living and doing those things, God will put you and direct you right where He wants you. You won't have to worry about all that. You can give it up to God in prayer and be asking God for wisdom, but He will lead you to it. but you forsake all these things and then you think you're going to discern God's will somewhere else, God will be pointing right back here and say, what about this? Get back to what I've already revealed. Living for Christ. Walk carefully. Redeem the time. Understand and do the will of God. What are you living for? This don't happen automatically. As I said, we have to get after it. We have to get after it. You know, in the book of Acts, and we've said this many times, but it's worth repeating again and again and again. In the book of Acts, the church, the apostles, had a sword to their throat and the threat of death on their lives. And you couldn't stop them for living for this Jesus. But the church today, something's amiss. Something's not right. Oh God, help us. Help us to wake up. Help us to see. Help us to understand. If this is who our Jesus is, He demands my whole life. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our whole life. Given up to Him. It's a battle. We'll struggle. Don't make it an excuse. Go after it. Charles Spurgeon said, never a crown so glorious. Never a battle so important. What are you living for? Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're here today as we bow in prayer and get ready to pray, bow our hearts in reverence before God and just trying to be attentive to God's Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you're not truly saved. You know a lot of these things, you believe these things, but you're just not born by the power of God. And in your heart of hearts, you know God is revealing to you, you're not His. You need to be saved. Then be done with sin and self. Be done putting it off. Be done wondering about it and just run to Christ and surrender there. Put your faith in Jesus as Savior, Lord, God, and King. He will save you. And maybe like me, you just look at all this and hear all this. If you've taken it to heart and God's Spirit is working it in you, you just look at your life and you say, oh God, woe is me. I am undone. And you just need to get back. You need to fall there at His feet and say, forgive me, God, and get specific. Forgive me for wasting time. Forgive me for putting this specific thing in front of you. Forgive me for being given to this when I ought to have been given to this. Whatever it is in your life. There's forgiveness and cleansing there. There's restoration there. There's divine renewal and empowerment to the calling. Come back. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe there's something else God's putting His finger on. I just want to encourage you and plead with you. Hear the voice of God and obey it. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your calling. We need You. It's so easy to wrap things up and be done and go out the door, but God, to truly do business with You, that is our great need right here at this moment in this hour. Have Your will Your way in me and us in this church. You know where we are. You know what we need. God, help us to see. Help us to understand. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.